We're on page Samach Aleph. Okay, let's start 12 lines from the bottom. We learned a little bit of this Gemara already. We didn't learn for a while. 12 lines in the bottom. No. Samach Aleph Amid Aleph. I can't see what you have over there. Yeah, 12 lines in the bottom. That's Amid Beis. In the Gemara, there's the page number, and then there's the first side and the second side. Amid Aleph is the first column, meaning the first side. Amid Beis is the second.
How can you tell?
The two dots.
Yes. One dot and two dots. Okay, the Gemara says, Amid Rav Nachman says, Menayach was the father of Shimshon, Amo Adet Tzoyo was illiterate. Before the Gemara speak about having dealings with women, but looking at women and all that. So it says, Menayach was an illiterate. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, V'yelach Menayach achari ishtei. Menayach walked after his wife. We learned last time in the Gemara, you're not allowed to walk in the street behind your wife. Maskul Rav Nachman Yitzchok, so Rav Nachman Yitzchok asked, if that's what you say, whoever follows their wife is an Amoritz, Gabi Elkana, by Elkana was the father of Shmuel, and he was definitely a great tzaddik. It says, Vayelech Elkana achare ishtei. Elkana followed his wife, Chana. So, how can you say Elkana was an Amoritz? And also by Elisha, who was mamash a great prophet, it says, Vayokam Vayelech achare. Elisha followed the woman. Right? So, are you going to say that Mamish followed her? Because if you're not allowed to, then Elisha wouldn't do it, then Elkanah wouldn't do it. So we must say, what does it mean? It doesn't mean literally, physically following his wife. It means he followed her advice. So the same thing, so how do you say Maneach was an Amoritz? Maybe when it says in the Pasuk, Maneach followed his wife, it means after her Eitzah. So therefore the Gemara said, not refutes it, but the Gemara says, who says he was an illiterate because he went after his wife? It doesn't necessarily mean he went after his wife. It means that he followed her advice. Amar Rav Ashi said, according to this that Rav Nachman said before, Menayach Amoritz Hoya, that Menayach was an Amoritz, afilu beirav nami leikra. He doesn't even know Chumash that the kids learn in school. Because he sees this even in Chumash. Why? Shenamad, it says in the Pasuk, Vatakim Rivka v'Nariseha, after Eliezer, finally approved the Shidduch with Rivka, and Rivka was going to go home with Eliezer to Yitzchak, right? So what does the Pasuk say? Vatakim Rivka v'Nariseha, the Rivka and her servant, the girls went up, Vatekavna l'gmalim, and they went on the camels, Vatelach na'achar ha'ish, they went behind the man, Eliezer, V'lei l'fnei ha'ish, and not in front of the man. The Mefashim explained a very simple thing. I don't need a pasuk to tell me she followed the man. How did she know where to go? He was taking her to Yitzchak's house, right? Who knew the direction? Not her. He did. So if all the pasuk had to say is she went. Why does the pasuk have to say she went after the man? It's obvious she went after the man. How could she go before? She wouldn't know where to go. The answer is, the Torah is teaching us something. That you should always walk behind the man. The woman should always walk behind the man, not in front of the man. So he says, according to the opinion, says Menayach was an Amoritz. He didn't even know a pasuk in Chumash. Not only a scholarly Gemara or whatever, he didn't even know a pasuk in Chumash. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan said, Acharei Ari, it's better to walk after a lion, v'lo acharei isha, rather than behind a woman. Again, all these, what the Gemara is talking about, basically, we learned last a few weeks ago, was what we learned is that when a person follows a woman, then he stares at her. And then it's immodest and it's not proper. So Gemara says it's better to walk after a lion rather than after a woman. Acharei isha, it's better to walk after a woman. V'lei acharei avedus kochavim, and not following an idol, because then you might be drawn after idols, which is even worse. Acharei avedus kochavim, it's better to walk after an idol, and not to walk behind the shul, when the minion is davening. In other words, if the minion is davening, and you're walking behind the minion as if you do not have anything to do with it, that's even worse than following idols. Because that's an open, by idols, it's only you might come to follow idols. And this is an open chutzpah that everybody's davening to Hashem. It's like you don't care about it.
What do you mean by walking behind a minion? I'm not sure what that means.
Huh? If you walk, I mean, here the door is in the front, but the same thing.
Oh, so you're not being noticed, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that you're noticeably not involved in the minion.
Right.
But the Gemara is going to say something, not under all conditions. V'lei amaron, it doesn't say that. This only applies ala delei darim idi. If he's not carrying something, if he's not carrying a load, because e darim idi, if he's carrying something, less than bar doesn't apply. Why? In other words, it's very simple. Rashi explains, the main thing over here is it shouldn't look like you don't want to be part of the minion. But if you're carrying the package, people understand, why aren't you going into the minion? Because you're busy with the package. It's not that you don't like davening. And he says, and also the Evi daughter, the holding doesn't apply. If there's no other entrance to the shul besides the one he's walking by. Because then, if there's another entrance, people think you're coming in through the other entrance. So they won't, it doesn't look so bad. And even if there is another entrance, if you're not riding a donkey. If you're riding a donkey, you don't come into shul. People also understand because you have nothing to do with the donkey. Where are you going to put the donkey? You can't bring him into shul. You know how to bring animals into shul. In fact, we mentioned in the past, there's a big shaila in halacha, a blind person who has the seeing dogs. Are you allowed to bring them into a shul? Because then you're not allowed to bring animals into a shul. If a person's walking his dog, you're not allowed to bring his dog into a shul. Question is, there's an argument in halacha, and from the Rebbe comes out that you could. Can you walk, can you bring a blind person, can they bring their seeing dog into the shul? Some people say no, some poskim write no. That seems from the Rebbe's letter, if I remember correctly, the Rebbe also writes that you could. So therefore, it's only if you're not riding a donkey. But if you're riding a donkey and you don't come into the shul, doesn't matter. Why? Because it doesn't look so bad. Because people understand you can't come into the shul. What are you going to do with your donkey? The altar, the din only applies if you're not wearing tefillin. Because then it looks like you don't have anything to do with God. But if you're wearing tefillin, like in the olden times, many people wore tefillin the entire day. So if you're wearing tefillin, obviously, it's not, God forbid, you don't want to daven, because if not, you wouldn't be wearing tefillin either. So then, less one about the whole thing doesn't apply. But, I mean, this is a very simple, logical Gemara. The Gemara says, if you walk by a shul in a way that it implies that you're just not interested in davening, it's better to follow idols in the street, to not worship idols, better to walk behind idols than walk behind the shul if you're not davening. Obviously, if you walk by one shul, there's another shul down the block, it also doesn't apply. I mean, what?
Right, that's what I was going to say.
Well, then people think you're going to the other shul. It's like when there's only one shul, everybody has to come to shul. When there's two shuls, everybody can sleep. And everybody thinks they went to the other shul. Okay, Amar Avraf said, Yaitzahara, there's a Gemara coming up all about what's quoted in Tanya. It's very interesting.
There's an exception to this rule of not walking behind a woman. When a man and a woman coming out of the cemetery,
then you're not allowed to walk.
The man shouldn't go ahead.
You should not walk before.
Okay. They should let the woman go first.
Yeah.
That's the only exception.
Because the Malach HaMavis is dancing then. It's dangerous, right? Yeah.
Is there any other exceptions?
Not that comes to mind right now.
If the woman goes faster than the man, he cannot walk too. How can I do it?
No, it's
like I am doing it.
For whatever reason, today people are lenient in this.
Yeah.
For whatever reason it is. I mean, you walk. I mean, there's a woman walking in front of you in the street. I mean,
Manhattan, like
yeah, I mean, in Manhattan and any street over here.
Yeah. Yes.
And this is speaking, by the way, in the olden times when women dressed properly. You know, they were covered from head, literally from head to toe.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's the way they walked in those days. If the Gemara would be taught about what goes on today, I mean, forget it.
You cannot walk.
You couldn't walk in the street, you know. Okay, Amar Avraf said, Yetzahara Deimel Zvuv, Yetzar is like a fly. V'yeshe ben shnei maftachei alev. And it sits between the two gateways of the heart. You can explain what this means. Shenemar, zvuv imoves, yavish yabia. Flies of death, zvuv is a fly, of death, yavish yabia, corrupt and make impure perfumed oil. Yabia shemen rekeach, ruin pure oil. This they quote this a pasuk in Keheles. It means that just like a single dying fly that falls into a whole bunch of smelling oil can ruin the smell of the entire oil. Mm-hmm. The same thing, the Yetzer Hara is this dead fly that ruins the Yetzer Teif, or tries to ruin the Yetzer Teif. Or Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, no, it's not likened to a fly, it's likened to min chito hudaim, it's likened to a wheat. Why? Because Rashi explains, chet is the same, sounds the same like chita. Chita is a sin, a wheat, and chet is a sin. Okay, but the ches and the tes are the same in both. Shenema, because it says in the pasuk, like we read in yesterday's parsha, la pesach atos revitz, sin crouches at the door. Okay? He brings on over here, interesting, Rami Prague explains, what's the argument between Rav and Shmuel if the Yetzer Hara is a fly or wheat? And because it's a big difference between a dead fly and wheat. Wheat is the basics in life, you know, you need wheat. So the Maral explains that Rav holds that the Yetzer Hara is the worst part of the person. It's the most corrupt part of the person. Shmuel, on the other hand, that is the most fine in the person. And he says, the Yetzer Hara, you know the expression, opposites attract? He says, the Yetzer Hara is attracted to evil because it's very high.
Attracted to evil?
It's Yetzer Hara.
Yeah, opposites attract.
Yeah, because the Yetzer Hara is good, it's attracted to evil. That's what Shmuel says. Because the Yetzer Hara is really good, it's attracted to evil. Because opposites attract. Raval, the Yetzer Hara is no good. So it's like a dead fly. That's how the Rami Prague explains. Anyway, Tana Rabbanan. The Chachamim learned, Shtei Klaus Yesh Beiba Adam. A person has two kidneys. Achas Yatze L'Teva, one kidney counsels him to do good. V'achas Yatze L'Ra, and one kidney counsels him to do bad. Now, there is a passage that says, Klaus Yatze, that the kidneys counsel. Okay?
There's two kidneys in a person?
Huh?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. Person has two kidneys. You can live with one kidney.
Yeah.
Sometimes you donate a kidney.
Mm-hmm.
A person loses a kidney, God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, Kloyas Yayatseis. Okay? In fact, he's going to quote it in the next piece of Gemara. So he says, in fact, it's interesting. I was told that when the Rebbe had his heart attack in Lamed Ches, in Shmini Atzeres, 24 years ago, 24 years ago, the Rebbe was speaking a lot of medical things with doctors. The Rebbe was asking doctors a lot of questions, and one of the questions the Rebbe was asking doctors, he wanted the medical explanation of Kloyos Yoyatzis, that the kidneys counsel the person. What is the connection between the kidneys and the advice? And the Rebbe was not happy with any of the explanations doctors gave him. Doctors explained it, how it affects the brain or whatever it is, and the Rebbe said, that's not what the Gemara says, what the Gemara means. That's what I heard. I don't know.
So what is it?
Well, it has to be something with the function of the kidney, obviously.
He brings down over here, this can be seen from the verse in Tillim, I will bless Hashem, Avarchas Hashem Asher Yeratzoni, okay? Even by night, my kidneys admonish me. So you see in the pasuk, it says, in Tillim, Av Balelis Yisruni Chul Yosei, means even at night, my kidneys admonish me. So it means, obviously, there's something of counsel in the kidneys. So he says, the fact that we have two is because one counsels you for good, one counsels you to do bad. And the Gemara says, which one is good and which one is bad. So the Gemara says, Mistabe, the logic is, the teva, the good kidney, so to speak, is limini, on the right side. But all is smiling. And the evil kidney is on the left side. Why? Because Shlomo HaMelech writes, Lev chacham liyamini, the heart of a wise person on the right, for Lev ksil, and the heart of a fool, the smiling is on the left. So you see, Shlomo HaMelech says, the chacham is on the right, and the fool is on the left. So therefore, the good kidney is on the right, and the bad kidney is on the left. That's the Gemara says. Then the Gemara says another thing. Tanu Rabbanan learned. Kloyes yoyatzis. The kidneys give counsel. Lev, the heart, maven, considers which counsel to accept. Loshin mechatech, the tongue articulates, says the things. Peh gomer, the mouth concludes the process. That means it starts with the kidney, then it goes to the heart to decide what to accept, then the tongue says it and the mouth finishes it. Veshit machnis, the esophagus takes in, machnis and meitzi komin emeichel, takes in and out all food, kana meitzi kol, the windpipe gives voice. These are just the different parts of the body. Reya, the lung, sheyev is komin emashkin, takes in all liquids. Like we know, the Rashi writes, even though it goes into the stomach, but it goes through the lungs. Kavod kayetz, the liver becomes angry. That means anger originates in the liver of the person. Marah zedekes beitipa, and the gallbladder, throws in a drop into the liver, umanichosei, and it calms it down. That means when the liver gets angry, the bladder calms it down.
Gallbladder.
Tchel, the spleen, seichik laughs. Kurkevin, the gizzard, which is the stomach. Teichen, grinds food. Keva yeshena, the stomach, sleeps. Mean the stomach causes you to fall asleep. That's why, by the way, when you eat, you're tired. Afnir, the nose, awakes. Nir hayoshin, if the sleeping one, the stomach, wakes up, Yoshin aneir, and the waking one, meaning the nose sleeps, nimuk vahelechle, then he languishes away. Meaning, if the stomach and the nose are reversed, then he will languish away, meaning he's going to get sick. And like Rashi says, you're drawn to death. Rashi says, you're drawn to death. Tana, it says in the Braisa, Im Shneim Yeshenim, if both of them are sleeping, meaning the stomach and the nose are both sleeping, or Shneim the Eudim, and both are, or both are up, Miyad Meis immediately die. Whatever. Okay, now the Gemara quotes things from Tanya. This is a lot of the first page of Tanya coming up. Tanya Rabbi Yitzhak Aglili says, Tzadikim Yetzatev Sheftam. Tzadikim are judged by the Yetzatev. That means who controls the Yetzatev? Shinema, because it says in the Pasuk, V'libi cholul b'kirbi, because my heart is hollow within me. David HaMelech, and this Alter Rebbe quotes in the second page of Tanya, that he has no Yetzahara, because David HaMelech says in Tillim, V'libi cholul b'kirbi, my heart is hollow. Now obviously David HaMelech had a heart. Can't live without a heart. What it means is, the Yetzahara, which is in the heart, he killed. There's no Yetzahara. So therefore, tzaddikim are judged and dictated and ruled only by the Yetzatev, because they have no Yetzahara. Rishayim, Yetzahara Shefta. Rishayim are ruled by the Yetzahara. They control them. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, Ne'um Pesha L'Rasha. David HaMelech says, I think in my heart, evil speaks to the wicked. B'kerev Libi, Ein Pachad Alikim, there's no fear of Hashem, L'neged Einav, before his eyes. So the Pasuk says, by a Rasha, there is no fear of God. If there's no fear of God at all, so who governs him? The Yetzahara. Beinanim, Zev is Eshaftim. Beinanim, This is in the first page of Tanya. The Rebbe calls this Gemara. Tzadikim are controlled by the Yetzer Tov, Rishayim are controlled by the Yetzer Hara, Beinanim are controlled by both. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, Yamed Lemin Evyin, Hashem stands on the right side of the poor man, meaning of the Yetzer Tov, the Yeshia to save him, Mishayftei Nafshei, from the rulers of his heart. Okay? What do you mean the rulers, plural? Because every person is torn between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, and Hashem helps the Yetzer Tov to make the right decision. Okay? Amar Abba, here it says in the Gemara Rava, but it's supposed to be Rabba, Kagain Anu Beinanim. In Tanya, the verse is Anu Beinani. Here the Gemara's version is we are Beinanim. Okay? But in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe calls the version that Anu Beinanim, I'm a Beinanim. Amalei Abaye, this Alter Rebbe quotes in the first page of Tanya. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye said to him, Leshavik Machai Lechoberi, you're not letting anybody live. Okay? Why? So there's two explanations. Rashi says the explanation is, if you're a Beinani, so what are we? So we're Rishayim. Okay? Especially, the way the Alter Rebbe explains it in Tanya, when he asks the question, how could Rabbi say he's a Beinani? The Alter Rebbe basically has two meanings over here. Rabbi was the greatest person in his generation. Okay? Now, if Rabbi was only a Beinani, so Abaye says, so what are we? Then we're Rishayim. And a Rashi, even when he's alive, is called dead. Because he's governed by the Yetzer Hara. Right. Secondly, every generation needs a tzaddik, in whose merit the whole generation exists. And that person was Rabba. So if Rabba is not the tzaddik, then who is? There's no tzaddik in whose merit the generation stands. The Alter Rebbe Tanya explains the question even more. Rabba was so great that the Gemara says even the Malach HaMavis couldn't kill him. He was so busy learning, the angel of death came to kill him, he couldn't kill him. He had to make a spitzel, that a wind, and he fell and he lost his balance, and whatever it was, to kill him. So Abaye's question is a very good question. How could Rabbi say he's a Beinani, you're not letting anybody live? So the Gemara doesn't answer the question.
Rabbi is a humble.
Huh?
As humble,
yeah, but Chassidus explains that you can't say that. In the explanations of Tanya, the commentators in Tanya ask, maybe he was modest, and therefore he said, I'm a Beinani.
Yeah.
The way the Alter Rebbe explains it, we can understand what modesty is. But the truth is, modesty, as Chassidus explains, means you have to know your faults, you have to know your greatness. For instance, if somebody asks somebody, are you Shomer Shabbos? And they are, and they want to be modest and say no, they're pushing a liar. It's not haughty if somebody asks you, are you Shomer Shabbos? And you say yes. Because that's the truth. It's not a question of ego or modesty. On the contrary, if somebody would say, I'm not, Moshul, if somebody came to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Torah says, but the Torah says about, I'm shocked.
Making up. The
Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest prophet. The same Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu was the most modest person that ever lived. Moshe Rabbeinu Chumash wrote, that we read Simchas Torah, V'leikam Navi Eid B'Yisrael K'Moshe. There was never a great prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. If somebody went to Moshe Rabbeinu, somebody went over to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the greatest tzaddik of our generation? If he would say, not me, on himself, he'd be a liar. If somebody asked Moshe Rabbeinu, who got the Torah in Har Sinai? He would have to say, me. Who did Hashem always speak to? Me. Who is the greatest prophet? Me. That's not ego. If he would say no to any of the above questions, he'd be a liar.
That would apply only if the person knows his greatness.
1 second. But Chassidus says, you have to know your greatness and you have to know your faults. If so, what's modesty? If a person knows they're great, what's modesty? So Chassidus explained very simple. Modesty means that I know my greatness, but I understand this is all a God-given gift. If somebody would be given the same abilities and talents I was given, they would be much, much greater. That means Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was the greatest. But Moshe Rabbeinu's modesty was, Moshe Rabbeinu felt, honestly, that if somebody would be given his soul, his connection with God, and everything, they would be much greater. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was humbled from the fact, I'm not as great as I should be. But that doesn't mean he's not the greatest person. The simple meaning of tzaddik, Beinoni, and Rasha without Tanya, the simple meaning in the Gemara is, a tzaddik is 75 good, 25 bad. A Rasha is 75 bad, 25% good. And a Beinoni is 50-50. Yeah? So if Rabbi comes along and says, I'm a Beinoni, if that means 50-50, he's lying. Rabbi didn't sin. You're going to tell me Rabbi can honestly say 50% of my life I sinned? He'd be a liar. And you can't lie. So you can't say, if a Beinoni means 50-50, without the Rebbe is trying to prove in Tanya from this Gemara that it's not, but if a Beinoni means 50-50, how could Rabbi say he's a Beinoni? Modesty? It doesn't make sense, modesty. 1 minute. So the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, and based on the Alter Rebbe's explaining, the Gemara simply makes sense. A Beinoni doesn't mean 50-50. Because if you do one Aveira, you're automatically a Rasha. If you do Tshuva, you become a Tzaddik. So how does a Beinoni get into the picture? So Alter Rebbe explains, a Tzaddik means not a guy that doesn't sin. The Gemara quotes here, Li bicholul bekirbi, he doesn't have a Yetzahara. The definition of a tzaddik, not is a guy that doesn't sin. A guy that doesn't sin is a Beinoni. Because if you sin, you're a Rasha. What's the difference then between a tzaddik and a Beinoni, if both don't sin? A tzaddik kills the Yetzirah, he doesn't have one. The Beinoni has the Yetzirah, like he says, he has this fight, the judges within him. He has the constant battle and struggle between the Yetzirah and Yetzirah, but he never, ever sins. Okay, but the Beinoni, the Yetzirah is constantly fighting. There's one time, by a Beinoni, the Yetzirah doesn't fight. Now, the Rebbe says when a Beinoni davens, because at that time he's meditating into the greatness of Hashem, at that time, the Yetzirah of the Beinoni goes to sleep. Because you're davening, you're such involved in davening, Yetzirah goes to sleep. But the second you wake, the second you stop davening, the Yetzirah wakes up. Okay? So now the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, the Rabbi thought, out of modesty, and now you understand what the modesty is. Rabbi knew his Yetzirah was not working. But Rabbi didn't think he killed it. He thought he put it to sleep in a coma because he's like davening a whole day. Yeah. So Rabbi thought, I have a Yetzirah, but it's sleeping. The truth is, Rabbi killed his Yetzirah. Rabbi thought it's comatose or sleeping. Now that makes sense, modesty. He didn't have a Yetzirah, he didn't sin, because a Beinoni doesn't sin. Why didn't Rabbi feel his Yetzirah if he had one, if he's only a Beinoni? Rabbi maintained, out of modesty, not that he killed it, he just put it to sleep. Then the Gemara makes sense. Number one, the Gemara doesn't say a tzaddik doesn't sin. The Gemara says it's much greater. A tzaddik doesn't even have a Yetzahara because he killed it by fasting. Libi cholubri kibi. His heart is holy, he has no Yetzahara. Rabbi can say he's a Beinoni because a Beinoni doesn't sin. I had a Beinoni as a Yetzahara, Rabbi thought it was sleeping.
So most people are not Beinoni or tzaddik in their Rashaim.
Right. In the world today, what we call a tzaddik is a Rosh HaVetevli. The Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that even a Rasha has a bad Rasha and a good Rasha. A good Rasha is a guy that sins rarely, and even when he sins, he right away does tshuva. But the fact that he could sin and does sin makes him a Rasha. So what we call in the world today a tzaddik, you know, is a guy that's a Rasha v'tayv, not even a Beinoni. There were people that they said were on the level of a Beinoni. The Taka never sinned, not in thought, not in speech, not in action.
So if he sins in private, it's worse than if he sins publicly.
Sometimes. Because you're embarrassed of people, not of God. Like the Gemara, the Torah says, there's a ganef and a gazlan. A ganef pays double, a gazlan doesn't. He only pays back what he stole. Why does a ganav pay back double? So the Gemara explains the pasuk: a ganav steals in the middle of the night when nobody's around. He's afraid of people, so he does it in the middle of the night when nobody's around. A gazlan is a chutzpenyak that does it in broad daylight. So, which one's worse? So the Torah says the ganav pays double, not the gazlan. Why? The gazlan, even though he does it in broad daylight, he has more chutzpah, but the gazlan has a personality. He's not afraid of anybody. He's not afraid of people. He's not afraid of God. That's his personality. A ganef is worse. He's afraid of people, but not God. He's afraid of people, but he's not afraid of God. That guy is worse. You're not afraid of anybody. That's your chutzpahdik personality.
Crazy.
Yeah, you're not afraid of people, God, you're crazy. You know? But a guy that's afraid of people, and not afraid of God, because he's stealing, he's worse. But Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, if somebody willingly thinks an evil thought, they're a Rasha. If an evil thought comes into your head, you have a Yetzer Hara. The question, what do you do with it? Do you immediately push it out? You're a Beinoni. The Tzaddik doesn't get the evil thoughts because he has no Yetzer Hara, right? But a Beinoni gets the evil thought. So if he's a Beinoni, he right away gets rid of it. How? By thinking a good thought. You can't think two thoughts at the same time. If you invited in for cake and tea and coffee and cake or whatever, you invite it in and you think about it willingly, you're a Rasha. Until you do tshuva. That's why, by the way, when you call up witnesses to do the chuppah, to do the ring, many times, unless if they know it themselves, it says they're supposed to think tshuva. Because then a Rasha can't be a witness. A Rasha is not a kosher witness, which disqualifies 99.999%. So if you think tshuva, tshuva is a second. You think tshuva, so then you're a kosher witness. But what we call today tzaddikim, your holy guy, they all sin. We're not talking about rebbes, I mean, but you're talking about, so they attack a rosh of a tevle. Rosh of a rale, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, is a person that's so not in control of his body that he never, ever, ever has regret for evil. Never.
He doesn't think he's right.
He doesn't want tshuva. He doesn't care about tshuva. He's not interested at all in regret. And even that Jew, 10 Jews, the Shekhinah rests upon them. The Talmud ever says in Tanya. But now at least, okay, now the Gemara continues. Amar Rava. About 10, 11 lines in the top. Amar Rava said, Le'ivra Alma, the world was not created. Ela l'Rashia Gemara, only for complete Rishayim. Or l'Tzadika Gemara, for complete Rishayim. I mean, for complete Tzadika. Meaning, this world was created for the Rishayim. Olam Haba was created for Tzadika. Amar Rava, Le'de Inish Benafshe, a person should know himself, Im tzadik gomer hu, if he's a tzadik gomer im lav, or if not. The person should be able to know if he is or not.
He knows his
faults.
That's simple. No, it's, at least he should know.
For us, it's no big deal. Amar Rav said, the Ivra Alma, the worlds were created only Achav ben Omri. Achav was one of the king of the 10 tribes, and he was a very wicked king. He made the Jews sin. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara says about him, Achav is so bad, he has no chelik on olam haba ever. That's how bad he was. So Rav says, this world was created for Achav. Or Rav Chanina ben Daisa. And for Rav Chanina ben Daisa, the world was created for Rav Chanina, the famous miracle worker, Rav Chanina ben Daisa. La'achav ben Amri, for Achav ben Amri, was olam hazeh was created. Rav Chanina ben Daisa, olam haba, was created the world to come. And he Rashi quotes over here the famous Gemara in Tainis. Rav Chanina ben Daisa, the Gemara says, the whole world was existing in the merit of Rav Chanina ben Daisa. And Rav Chanina ben Daisa was so poor, he had a small amount of carob, you know, buxer. to live from week to week. The whole world was existing in the merit of Chanina ben Deis. So it says, why? Because Chanina ben Deis has the world to come. Okay, now the Gemara is also a famous Gemara. It says in the Pasuk in Shema, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. You should love God, right? With all your heart, all your soul, all your might. So, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Eimer, Im Nemer B'chol Nafshecha. If it says B'chol Nafshecha, why does it say B'chol Me'edecha? And if it says B'chol Me'edecha, why does it say B'chol Nafshecha? I mean, in other words, what does it mean? Why is it three? B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, or B'chol Me'edecha? Why do you need Nafshecha and Me'edecha? So the Gemara says, Ela Yesh L'chadam, you have a person, Shagufi Chavav Olav Mimameinei, that his body is more precious than his money. Therefore you say, B'chol Nafshecha, you should love God with all your soul, meaning all your body. V'yesh l'chadam, and there are people, Shemameinei Chavav Olav Migufi, that his money is more important to him than his body. Therefore it says, B'chol Me'edecha. Okay? Now, obviously, huh? Well, really, Rashi says this in Chumash, because Rashi is by tzaddikim. Many times, even why did Yaakov? We learned in the Chumash class. Yaakov Avinu went back to get those small jugs, and he ended up risking his life with fighting the Malach of Esav. So it says because tzaddikim don't steal. And Chassidus explains even more that tzaddikim understand that if Hashem gave him property, they have to elevate it. So there are some people that are, he says, obviously life is more precious than money, okay? This would not be fent from the Yetzer Hara to say that money is more important. I should prove it to you even in today's world. There are many people that are so much into making money, they forget about their own personal health, they forget about family, they forget about everything else, about living. Why? Because money, 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 money. You know, there are people like that today. That means their money is more precious than their body. So the Torah says, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha with your body, even b'chol meidach, whichever one, the money. Okay, Rabbi Kiva Eimer, we have to finish this next week. B'chol nafshecha, even if the netos nafshech, even if you get killed, you have to have mesiras nefesh.